Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Chili Effect.
Well, it's just about 25 minutes after the hour here in the East Coast of what used to be America. And I do mean 9 p.m., but that's only if you're hearing us live. So most of you will hear us via the podcast feeds and all that good stuff. So I don't even know how I'm going to split up this show. We're going to see because I'm going to have to probably make more than one podcast. Big shift in topics tonight. We started out with Danny Bonaducci and the Monkees and the Beatles and stuff like that. Moved on to the Kennedy assassination. Okay.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you.
Yes.
Did you say Danny Bonaducci was on the show earlier when I was still on my greenhouse?
No, he wasn't on the show. People that had interacted with him were on the show talking about his career trajectory and stuff like that, and David Cassidy's death and stuff like that.
And the monkeys. How? Wow. All right.
This is what happens when Bob Wilson works with me. And it just... Then Bob wanted to
there's
ask...
I'm sure there's a couple people at least that are in the chat that are probably like, wait, what? Did she say monkeys? Like, how... So I used to work with Rich Bonaducci, by the way, when I was doing a morning weather and traffic show on, like, mainstream TV. That was clearly before I was canceled. and long before internet radio and all of that stuff.
Nice.
But the monkey thing actually goes along with the topic we've been discussing. So how crazy is that?
Well, yeah, totally organically, things just fall together, Christy, is what happens
here. I believe that.
Yeah. I was sort of like, look, I'm going to turn over my show basically to Bob tonight and let him go where he wants. And we wound up, you know, going through that and then organized crime and Jack Ruby and the JFK assassination and weird stuff. And yeah, so we went through all this stuff in the first 2 hours or so. And now you're here. So, again, I have no script, but I'm always happy to talk to Christy Aphrodite. ChristyAphrodite.com, of course. MyTrueEssence.net, which you've heard spots for now during the breaks and do here on the network now and then. Just saying. And she's not here because she's a paid sponsor, by the way. none of that. This is not sponsored content, okay? She's here because we're friends, and I am friendly to the majority of what Christy likes to talk about and teach people about all the time, and more than happy to facilitate that. And she doesn't feel like doing her own show right now, so this is what we're going to do. We can continue to educate people and make it a little easier because I frame the show and run the stuff for her, and then... she can just talk to you guys. And speaking of that, we have the phone lines open. 319.
But it's technically not entirely true that I don't want to do my own show now. It's that I'm only one person and running the Ozarks Church of Nature magical food forest and dozens of animals. And, you know, it's just I'm strapped for time and I'm a one-man woman. What are the politically correct words these days?
I don't know.
Gender fluid show.
Well, you have to be gender neutral. So, are you just a person? Do you have to be?
I don't know. I'm not actually sure. I'm not really up. Nobody sent me a memo about the new language, but I'm not sure.
Well, if they sent it to me, it probably ended up in my spam folder because you know I'm done. I
they
know
they just don't care. They like to hear me fuck up all the time. Then they have something to yell at me about, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, and people like to yell at you, but that's okay. They like to yell at me, too, and I want to shut up and kind of turn it over to you. But here it comes, right? Again, mytrueessence.net, ChristyAphrodite.com. You could be listening to the show, actually, at ChristyAphrodite.com, because she's got a feed for Ocelli.com radio. But we also have, like I said, a caller on the line. And if you want to call in, you, the listener out there right now, as we're live, but only as we're live, because if you're hearing us any other time than April 3rd, okay, it's not live, all right? So don't call.
Wait, April?
Oh, excuse me, May 3rd. There's a mistake. May 3rd. You know, I just got used to saying April, and it blew right on by. May 3rd. Okay, it's May 3rd, not May Day, May 3rd. So if you're hearing this any later than May 3rd, 2022, it's not live. But if it is May 3rd, 2022 in most of the world, and it's just after, just around 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S., we're live. 319-527-5016 is the number to call. We do have Jimmy James, who had called in earlier. But I see he's held on, so that means he probably wants to talk to you as well, Christy Aphrodite. So, let us begin. We talked about depression. We talked about trauma. We talked about, and I have this funny feeling we're going to have to talk about trauma some more because, I don't know, common theme seems to have gone through all these different discussions, even though we tried to talk about headaches. And we talked about, good food and making your medicine your food or your food your medicine. Guess what? It works both ways. Things like this and the ideas that one could have. And, of course, none of this is medical advice. You must be cautious, especially if you're taking medications or contradictory things into your system. And you have to be the most informed consumer when you choose to consume, and I don't mean by buying things off of the corporate shelves, okay? So that's the disclaimer. And Christy, how am I doing so far?
Awesome. In fact, we've spent, I guess, the last couple weeks talking, exactly what you said, and theory and personal experience and and I think maybe this time we can talk more like tangible, firsthand, like, well, what can we do when we're experiencing these feelings or these symptoms, right? Because I think the listeners of your show, they already know that the medications cause brain damage and memory loss and bone cancer and a million other things, right? So we don't really need to beat a dead horse, but what I'm finding, people really, sometimes we need like somebody to hold our hand and say, okay, so what can I do if I find myself in a depression or if I'm experiencing trauma triggers? How can I help myself right then and there? And because beyond drugs, beyond herbs, ultimately it's ourself, and it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to lie to you and say, oh, if you are on these medications and you want to get off and you want to heal this, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be hardly any rainbows and unicorns, maybe a few along the way. But it's you that's going to do the work. Mm-hmm. Herbs and things like essential oils and other things we've talked about and can talk more in depth about will definitely assist when we're having symptoms or panic attacks or deep crying spell or whatever it is, right? But ultimately you just have to go through it. It's your cross to bear, so to speak, or you could refer to it as the dark night of the soul. And I think we've established that, all of our purpose in this earth school, or however you want to view it, is to heal ourselves. So, you know, again, I'll talk about herbs and oils and things that may assist, but ultimately we are our own healer, we are our own doctor, and all of these other things are just tools, right? That can assist in the process, but it's not going to make it go away. There is not one single herb or pill or anything on the planet that is going to make all of your pain or misery or trauma or depression or anxiety go away at all, ever, right? So if we're talking real healing, now if we're talking symptom treating, then fine, take a pill and yeah, it'll definitely reduce your anxiety, but tranquilizers and things, I mean, the same medication they're giving to us will knock out a horse or a gorilla, never mind the lower IQ and such. So if you do want to learn more about that, I would suggest that you go check out Breggin.com. Dr. Peter Breggin has been in the industry for over 60 years and has led the way in dozens of lawsuits against drug companies. And, you know, and he has solutions. He's not just talking about the problems, and he came up with these solutions. When he was 18, he was a candy striper, and I'm not going to remember his whole story because he told it to me on my show in like 2008 or 9 or, you know, so I won't remember it all, but they, you know, they were still doing lobotomies and horrible things there, and he wasn't really that programmed yet. He was just a kid, and he just saw them as people who, you know, just people, people who were hurting and people who needed love. And so him and his buddies there like implemented, and again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember all the details, but basically they volunteered to stay there with the patients and show them love. And it was some kind of phenomenal number of the non-drug love approach that they used that maybe only three people ever came back, and, you know, versus the drug approach that, you know, kind of seems like a prison for a life sentence, really. So, yeah, I would really love tonight to talk about, you know, tangible things that people can do if they're feeling down in the dumps or like they're dying or, you know, that we could help ourselves with at that very moment, right? Without spending a dollar, without going to the health food store, without even picking an herb.
Well, I'll tell you something. What comes to mind here while you're talking about this, and also I do want to get to Jimmy James, who's hanging on the line, because I think it's going to somehow groove with this conversation, and I'm just going with the flow here tonight, guys, just so you know. Thing is, a very common complaint, along with all those things you just mentioned, is a lack of clarity in people's thoughts. They start getting sort of a haze, you know, and some people talk about being on automatic pilot, and that has its place. But when you notice that that is more the common condition, and you're just kind of feeling sort of in a daze, it's natural sometimes to go through time periods like that, but if that becomes way too commonplace, people often seek solutions for that. I remember the popularity of, like, say, ginkgo biloba some years ago for clarity, right? And indeed, it does serve a purpose, but there's more to it. And there are things before you look for something to eat and before you go looking for a happy pill that can be done as well. So with that, I don't
even I'm glad you brought that up, because also St. John's wort is like a popular, you know, people say, I'll take that for depression. But, you know, if you're taking pills and stuff, it can cause liver damage. So, again, this time, you know, we have to be fully informed of what we're choosing to do with our bodies. And hopefully, if you are working with a doctor, that you are being honest with him or her about how you're feeling. And if you do, you know, want to get off of some of these substances, that they don't tell you within a week you're addicted. So you may not feel it, but your body does, your cells do, things quit working, and the fog you just mentioned, right? And the autopilot, and you're right, it does work in some situations, right? But if we're going to talk real healing, it looks a little bit different than that robotic approach of just trying to get through the day.
Right. And again, look, there may be certain points in time where you do have to just do that. Just get through the day.
Right.
But it's not supposed to be your default condition. This is not how life is supposed to be, obviously. So, you know, we should shoot for the optimal experience as opposed to just the acceptable is what I'm shooting for here. And Jimmy dropped off the line, but if anybody else wants to call in or Jimmy wants to call back, please do. But this is one of those common things. And guess what? A common link here, when you do want to consume something that's going to improve your condition, quite frankly, is guess what? Clean water. And I bring up water all the time because it's one of those things, again, people forget about, but is absolutely essential to sustaining life. You know, you can't just survive on coffee. If you could, that's what I would probably do. But, you know, it just, I've told you before, I love my caffeine. I've got a good reason for it. Is it the optimal approach? I don't necessarily know, but it has worked for the purposes that I've used it for. But I wouldn't advise anybody to take on the caffeine load that I usually have because, again, not made for everybody. So you have to seek your own approach. And we talked about evaluation in earlier programs. And those things you must do yourself, and you must be honest about them. With yourself, with somebody else, whatever, whoever's going to advise you, whether it just be you, you have to accept what it is going on. And sometimes, you know, figuring out what's wrong with the situation and eliminating it without replacing something else. You know, if you drop everything from your diet that's problematic, but you don't replace it with something, you might find yourself hungry. And, you know, like I said, with the water, it's a common key element. A lot of people experience things until they start getting their water back up and their gut health, things like this. And they reach for those kind of solutions one way or another. And again, it all comes back down to, you know, what you put in is what you get out. Right. So, OK, Christy, enough out of me. Let's go into this also on the psychological and the spiritual level, because again, it still counts. It's not just what you eat, but what you consume mentally, what you consume spiritually, what you allow yourself to be exposed to constantly, which we've also talked about. You know, there are toxins, there are toxic people, and these things are all choices that you're allowed to make, regardless
toxic
of health.
Systems.
Yep. So go ahead, Christy. Run with that for a few minutes, because I think this will go exactly where it needs to.
Yeah. Well, again, I just want to say, because you mentioned, you know, when we suggest things that will help you, I can't guarantee that anything I talk about will help you, because I don't know who's listening. I don't know any contraindication. And look, the doctors aren't even, they're prescribing stuff. They're not looking at the contraindications, right? And then if you go add herbs and all these other things to it, look, it's super easy. I'm going to say, just make PubMed.gov your favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see right there that if you mix this medication with grapefruit, you can die. Or white, you know, we talked about that already, and the white clover and such with statins. And mm-hmm. So, you know, just don't, every case is unique, right, and individual when it comes to what you can take. But I want to ask you, what can you take away? And so, as Chuck mentioned, there's toxic people, there's environmental there's toxic situations, and you literally feed what you eat. So whether it's the food, the drinks, the radio, the TV, the abusive partner, or belittling boss, or whatever it is, right? So these choices are yours to make how you deal with it. But the one thing, all of those are unique, but the one thing that is in common with everybody's case is trauma.
Right.
Okay, so trauma led to the physical dis-ease and the mental dis-ease and the spiritual dis-ease, right? So if we can look at, so for me, looking at life as an earth school, and these are our classes, that makes it easier for me to get through times that weren't easy. Now, things are much better. Like, I could talk about things or even hear things that in the past would make me break down, or I would burst out in anxiety. Let me tell you, Chuck, there was a time that if you were talking about the monkeys before I was on the radio with you, I wouldn't have been able to come on the show.
Right.
Okay, that's why I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, it's perfect. It totally goes along with our topic, right? So, because that, I mean, I don't know, I don't really need to say the name, but I'll just say a member that's clearly much older than me, right, was one of my handlers when I was a programmed pill-popping robotic slave in that Hollywood thing trying to please my parents,
right.
Okay? Yeah, so I was like 19, or, you know, he was like 50, or I don't even remember, but he was very shriveled up and disgusting. And yeah, so it doesn't trigger me today, right? And so how do you know you're healing is when things that used to make you break down or trigger panic attacks or depressions no longer affect you, right? You can look at the situation as an outsider, as your learning experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, 'cause if we're learning, we're not going to repeat the patterns that got us into whatever situation we're trying to overcome, right? So I know there's a time for everything, and there's even a time to mire in misery, right? And when you're depressed and it feels like you're dying, I mean, it literally, I don't know how bad you've had it or experienced it, Chuck, or anyone listening, but I literally thought like I was dying in anxiety attacks, that I thought I was having a heart attack, and you know? So I know what that feels like. And it feels like you're dying because you are. A piece of you is actually dying. And so that's where we need to start asking, whether it's God or your higher self or your ancestors or whoever it is you talk to, your cat, whatever, like, what am I missing? So when I'm feeling like depressed, or there's hard times or lots of confusion, I don't understand why this, why that, and I will ask God to take away what's not real. And it doesn't always come in a pretty package, right? So maybe there's people you truly love that, you know, shun you out of the blue for no reason, and you have to be able to go with that if your ultimate goal is healing, because the things and people and structures and systems that we're holding on to, they're dying for you to let go of that, right? Something isn't working. So it's, and again, we mentioned probably the last couple times, deep depression, deep pressed thoughts that require a deep rest, okay? So after you have that, when you're not trying to keep up with the Joneses and keep the smile on your face and go to the job you hate every day and pay the bills. And let me tell you something. Yeah, I lived in a tent and yeah, I was homeless and this and that, but it's not like that for every, you know, that was a choice I made because of my own personal path that has nothing to do with this show, right? Mm-hmm. So people fear that if I don't keep doing this, oh, I'm going to go homeless, or, oh, I can't take a two-week vacation because, you know, and they know they need the mental break. They know they're going to crack, but they keep convincing themselves that, oh, well, I don't want to end up like Christy or those other people on the street or whatever. And, right. You know, when we are in high states of stress, the truth is we're not really thinking rationally. So, I mean, rational thought, you're not going to go homeless missing 3 days of work take a long weekend to take self-care for yourself, right? See, like, nobody is.
Right, but because of that, I want to add a caveat to all of this, because somebody might say, okay, I took the break. I stepped away, and it didn't help. Okay, so right. Obviously... And look, if you're in a pressurized situation, you know what? It does sharpen some people's instincts, but it dulls other people's. You know, you can only sharpen something so much before the blade disappears. You take that break, maybe it A, wasn't enough, or maybe you took a break from the wrong thing. You might have to try more than one solution.
Right, that's because we're a soundbite culture, and people think there's a magic herb, or they take one vacation or one weekend of rest, and then all their problems are going to be solved. Now, let me tell you, you're talking to me 17 years after I made healing that within myself my full-time job. Okay? So it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen with 1 week's rest or even a 2 week vacation. And that, you know, that's not even it either, because most of these vacations or what people call rest or whatever, they're all just distractions anyways. Right. Like, everyone can set aside 10 minutes a day in silence for themselves. Okay. And if you can't do that, then you don't want real healing. And that's the actual fact, right? That there is, you know, you can, Christy, what pill can I take for this? Or what herb can I take for that? Like, that's after the fact, because you first have to put in the effort that you're willing to do something, that you can treat your body like the temple it is, that you can take care of the basics, like get enough water, get proper foods, get enough rest, and know when you need to take a break. Chuck, I had to take a break today. I had a pretty traumatic thing. I mentioned last week the dude trying to steal my car, and it ended up with courts and cops and all of that, and I didn't get home till super late, and I had an order, and I pride myself on shipping every order the same day if the post office is still open, or the next morning, so they get it 2 days after they order it, right? Well, I was not about to make medicine when I got home from that last night, right? And so the first part of the day before I had to get to work in the greenhouse and do all that, I'm like, okay, I'm taking this time to myself. They can get their order in 3 days. It's not the end of the world. It's still faster than everyone else anyways. Mm-hmm. And so I had to talk sense with my, you know, we all have to, right? Like, it's okay. And I didn't have a problem with that. Like, I didn't have to convince myself. Like, I already know that if I push myself or try to make medicine when I feel the poison of, you know, the toxic situation that I got home from very late last night with my car, by the way, but, you know.
Well, let me ask you about something here.
We have to be adults and be able to make simple decisions like that for ourselves and know, like, do I have to do this right this second, or can I put it off for a couple hours? And you know what I mean? That's why when you're like, oh, can we go a little later? I'm like, no problem, because, you know, I'm just going with the flow, and then that gives me that extra time with myself that I can assess or heal or, right?
Well, see, here's where somebody might say, look, there's a bit of a contradiction here, because clearly you have a work ethic, and I'm being objective here, and I recently and constantly have to reevaluate this, because I have a work ethic that basically, I mean, when I was a performer, when I do this, whatever, quite often I drag myself to what it is I have to do no matter what shape I'm in, because I have right. this idea that you have to show up, you have right. to do your job. If you make an agreement, you better fulfill it.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff. Okay, and all of it is true, but the thing is, we have to be reasonable about this with ourselves, to the point of, and I'm not saying be lazy and throw away your work ethic, I'm not saying that, but it almost sounds like a contradiction to where you say, look, special circumstance, this is the way this isn't going to get done the way I would normally do it, sticking to a pattern sometimes is helpful, but it is also helpful to break patterns if it's not working. So you gotta balance these two things. And again, right. not sure about the current generation, honestly, Christy, but yours and my generation and older generations definitely had this idea about a work ethic and how you better, you know, sick or no sick, go to school, sick or no sick, go to your job.
Right.
Get out right. there, do it, doesn't matter, drag yourself there, show up. Well, that's not always the best advice.
Not always, but it's also not always the worst, and here's why.
Right.
Because showing up for your word, doesn't that make you feel good?
Yes.
You know, and if it's something super tragic, I mean, yeah, finish your obligation, right? Show up when you said you were going to show up, but say it's like an extended... a six-month contract or something where you're expected to be there 12 hours a day for 6 weeks, you know, and then your mom dies or, you know, something crazy traumatic like that. Just like, look, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be here for the end of the week, but I really need a few days. You know, be honest with whoever. I'm not saying walk away, you know, like that. There's definitely a lot of self-respect in showing up and following through with your word. There, I could imagine that those who don't probably suffer a heck of a lot more anxiety and depression than the rest of us who do show up, right, and follow through with their word, because mm-hmm. that's already a bunch of guilt and shame that we don't have to carry. Where, you know, so just be honest, and that takes a little grit in today's society, but it is okay to take a break, hopefully in a I'm not trying to promote irresponsibility or anything like that, right? But if you are working a job that's, say, killing you, or and you know it, then yeah, put in your notice and finish it out responsibly, and right. you know, do something that isn't contribute to whatever it is that you're trying to heal.
Right. But see, but that's the thing, is there has to be a balance. Always, look, you may never achieve perfect balance, but you can always aspire to it. And the thing is, you always can work for it. I don't like the idea that a lot of people just, it doesn't matter, the priority is whatever comes up in my head and my responsibility. I don't want to encourage that, because I don't think that leads to a good place, like you said. Because certainly, look, if your obligations mean nothing, if your word means nothing, if right. you know, if you're not going to put effort into anything, and you're right. just going to expect everything to just happen, you know, you gotta let the universe do what it's going to do, because you can't control that. But
right, they're not on the path of healing, though, right? If you can't, you know, honor your word or show up for yourself, or you're not willing mm-hmm. to, you know what I mean? They're not even the people listening to your show.
No,
and definitely not listening to me. Like, those are the, you know what I'm saying?
No, generally not, but you never know. Okay. So what I'm saying is you got to consider all this. And again, the theme of tonight's show is there is no simple answer.
If you don't want to take self-responsibility for, you know, your own obligations and your own existence and your own healing, then you probably don't really want healing. You want symptom relief, and that's where herbs and essential oils and pills come in, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, but there you go. It's like somebody wants a Band-Aid but doesn't want to know how to not get cut again.
Right. And, you know, I can offer a Band-Aid here and there, but that's definitely not my favorite thing to do.
No.
My favorite thing to do is to help people remember their own power and plant the seeds that they need to take it and run with and not be in that position again and have the confidence that they deserve to know that they can overcome anything. I mean, life is a series of tests. Things are going to suck sometimes, and things are going to be great sometimes. Mm-hmm. So what do we want to focus on? And like when you mentioned earlier, like about diet and, you know, well, what are you replacing it with? That's exactly it. So whatever it is, whether it's diet or habits or trauma or, you know, what, focus on what you're adding, not what you're taking away, right? And focus on what it's doing for you and how it makes you feel versus the loss. And speaking of loss, I mean, I actually had a cry session this morning with my new little 4-week-old kitty baby that looks just like her daddy, who died completely unexpectedly in my arms 2 weeks ago. Mm. And I was like, aw, you know, and I totally could have mired in that, and, you know, but then I'm thinking of the blessing that he was, the 10 months he's here, these beautiful kitties, the beautiful family, all the memories and everything we had. And so if you are experiencing some kind of loss, you're feeling the loss because there was something great at a time, right? So focus on that and have gratitude for that as much as you can. And I know when you're in a dark place, sometimes it's right to rage and feel all the dark until you can't or don't even want to feel it anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not all, oh, la, 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 let's just replace it with something happy. No, I think it's equally essential to rage and cry and hate the world and do for as long as it takes, right? However much trauma, because, you know, as we discussed last week, a lot of us aren't in like a safe place where they're free to talk about how they feel, right? Mm-hmm. So the anger, the same thing, you know? So, and yeah, express it either through speaking with a friend or a psychologist or whatever, therapist, or, you know, a trusted person that isn't going to lock you up or call cops on you or get scared or try to belittle you or tell you they don't want to hear it, like somebody who will really listen. And even if you have to do it by yourself and cry it all out and hate your parents or, you know, whatever you need to do, that's equally as important. In my dark time, Chuck, and I've had more than one, but like when I finally got it right was when I quit trying to fight those feelings. Mm-hmm. And I allowed myself to actually feel them in a safe place for the first time and cry or rage. You know, some people are really great writers. Some people turn it into music or poetry or painting or boxing, right? Like whatever it is for you to get it out. Because if you don't express that, those deep pressed emotions holding you back, then whatever patchwork or Band-Aid work, again, herbs, teas, essential oils, pills, etc., isn't gonna help.
Well, you know,
it's the patterns and the healthy expression of what we've been suppressing that we need to make a priority.
See, suppression and all that, what the key is to me in my mind is the word frustration. Because when you have a frustrated mental or emotional state, whatever it is, because you're holding it back, because you're being dishonest. You see, this is another problem, is dishonesty, which there is a bit of a level of that where people participate in it on a daily basis. You know, I'll give you an example. People are listening right now going, oh, I don't do that. Okay, yeah, you do, and I'll tell you how you do it. How you doing? I'm okay. And you're not. Okay, I'm doing good.
Right,
no, you're not.
Right.
You're
I
lying.
Call people out, though. Like, if I ask somebody how they're doing and they're like, okay, and I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Like, so don't lie to me.
But that's a simple thing where you're frustrating your own emotions. You're being dishonest. You're not expressing them. And that's on a very small level. That's not a huge thing. You know, maybe you feel like crap. Maybe you're tired. But you didn't say that, though. You just go, no, I'm okay, because you don't even want to engage. And I get it. And you're going to do that. You're going to do that. But here's the thing. You start building it up. Okay, it's cumulative. It builds up,
and they become habits.
And it becomes
so
a habit.
So then they're harder and harder to break.
Right.
And then be honest with ourselves, because society's, you know, what they expect, and it's not okay to just, you know, tell people the truth or so. Yeah, we can practice though, and that's why it's essential to remove toxic people and toxic situations from our life, or remove ourselves, I should say, because you can't control anyone else, right? And if you feel the need to, that's when you got to look in the mirror and see what you need to control about your own damn self, right? So, you know.
Well, see, because why would you attempt to control another person? Because you're not getting something out of them that you want.
Right.
Okay, well, here's a simple thing. Why not go to where that thing you want is available? Okay,
exactly.
And I'm not just saying, you know, like, it's pretty simple. Like, you don't go into the hardware store normally to go get dinner, all right? It's just because it's not there. So you can look for it. You might find a pack of nuts and a bottle of soda, but because they do that at Home Depot now for some reason, but it's not really what you were looking for, was it? Okay.
Like, why would you want somebody who genuinely doesn't like you or respect you or have respect for your time, or why would you even want them in your life, right? Or
right.
Somebody who belittles you, or like, why are you begging to be in those places?
Right.
If you don't want to be treated that way, don't be there.
See,
and
that's,
you know, you're not going to, just like you won't change, they ain't going to change, and you certainly aren't going to do it. You're not going to prove them right or wrong or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Just if you want to be responsible for your own health, then take responsibility and remove yourself from whatever the toxin is.
Well, and see, that's a key here. And you know what I'm going to do, Christy, is I'm actually going to go to a break. Because I need to. So I'm going to do that. So I'm going to go to a quick break here. But the thing to keep in mind about this topic in my head is one of the simplest tropes that's out there when it comes to self-defense to begin with, right? Which is, you know, you don't want to get hit with this thing, then don't be there when this thing gets swung. It's pretty simple. Don't be there. So don't be there to get
right.
hit with the trauma. You can avoid some of those circumstances. Now, not 100% of the time. I've never known anybody who was, let's just take it down to a street fight. I've never known anybody who got involved in enough street fights to say that they had some experience to always avoid getting hit. Okay, very
right.
few of us are going to be Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee was a different sort of guy, not because of his physical abilities, but because of his spiritual stance. And, of course, I'm one of these, you know, kids from a more urban area, so Bruce Lee is a folk hero to me. But anyway, we're with Christy Aphrodite. We're going to continue this discussion in a couple of minutes here on the Ocelli.com radio network. We're going a little long tonight, so and we're going with the flow, and we hope you are, too. MyTrueEssence.net, ChristyAphrodite.com, and more to come on the other side of this break with the unique Christy Aphrodite. Stay tuned.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Revelation through conversation.
Ochilly.com.
Christy Aphrodite still with me here on the Ochilly Effect, and we are going late, so not sure exactly how long it'll go, but I guess if you're hearing us live, you'll stick around and find out, and if not, you've got the podcast, and you already know how long the file is, so welcome to it. Anyway, it is Tuesday, and interesting night for sure. We were discussing trauma, and I needed a little break there, actually. That wasn't Christy's fault at all. But I just needed a break for a moment, and I took it, see?
And you were self-responsible enough to say, I need a break, and you did what you had to do.
Well, there you go. And my,
that's awesome.
My friend here was on board with that and said, you know what? You need to do that? I understand. So I did. And that was a healthy exchange.
And it didn't mean you're walking away from your responsibilities. You're just taking a moment. And, you know, and I think it's a wonderful example based on what we were discussing in the past segment, actually.
Right. And, you know, as we were talking about, one of the best things to do is to avoid the problematic situation. And it's not because, look, and again, you have to do things realistically and in a balanced way. Because when you just say, look, I'll remove myself from the situation, I'll remove myself from all situations, some people do. They try and avoid everything. And then, you know, you end up with alleged conditions like agoraphobia, where it's like you're afraid of everything.
Right.
And it's not a real... It seems real if you're in it. I get it. But that's not how this started. That's not what it is. It's based on a trauma that you encountered, and now you've made a calculated decision somewhere in your mind to avoid everything. And that's not the way to go either. But you can be selective about most things that you encounter, but on occasion, you will stumble, despite your best efforts, you'll stumble into things that are not necessarily healthy, because let's face facts, if the majority of the world was healthy, we wouldn't need to have any of these conversations, Christy. I mean, it would just be a thing. It would be the given. So, anyway, I give it back to you.
It's funny that you say that, and like before we went to break, you said, you know, you can't always avoid toxic situations, and you or anyone who knows me knows that I go through great lengths to avoid toxic situations. However, that didn't prevent me from bringing my car to the wrong mechanic. And so that just ended yesterday after a month of, oh man, I don't even want, you know, because words like abuse and things are thrown around so often, but the texts are there. It was pretty, you know, the dude would not take my money under any circumstance. He literally wanted my car. So there I was, like, I'm getting all this excitement living out here in the country, trying to avoid like all of it. So yeah, we can't always avoid it, but what are you going to do with it? And you know, each of these experiences, whether, you know, we just happenstance on them or whatever, they're practice, they're windows of opportunity for growth. And if we look at it like practice, instead of expecting us to go from 30, 40, 50, 60 programmed years of our life to being able to nail it every single time, you know, your first time. No, and really that's what those situations are there for, to practice. Or did you learn the last lesson? Okay, here's the test, right? So looking at things like that, for me, it's not, you know, and I held true to my ground. Like when he showed himself as a lying, abusive psychopath, I'm walking away and I'm done. I'm not letting you waste another minute of my time. And pretty much from there, it was kind of out of my hands, although I did have to do the legwork to go to the courthouse and the sheriff and do some driving. But other than that, like, you know, you have to be resolute in the situation. In fact, I have a friend that had a situation in the last couple weeks where there was a toxic situation and this person making demand, you know, like unrealistic demands, totally out of line, out of place. But my friend and the sweet person that he is chose to cower and bow down to this psychopath's demands. And at the end of the day, his story basically ended with the dude having more demands and like, what do you say? And like, I think the whole lesson in that was, when you give them an inch, they're gonna take not even a mile, 10,000 miles. So, you know, I know that we're taught to play nice with vampires or all of this, or don't stand up for yourself because that's rude. And most of us don't feel comfortable with confrontation because we've suppressed it in ourselves for so long because we wanted to be a good member of society and please our parents and teachers and everybody else. But at the end of the day, if you're going to choose yourself and your, you know, you can't make deals with the vampires. Let me get some water.
Well, sure. Another thing when it comes to making deals with vampires is that one must keep in mind that some things are not always worth fighting over either, okay? And you do have to have some discernment about that where, look, does it matter about just this particular issue, or is this going to be something that's going to become an arrangement where I'm going to continuously give things up? You have to evaluate these things individually. There is no default position, again, for this, except that, obviously, you don't want to choose to engage in these things if you can avoid them.
Right.
Like, you know, for instance, you're talking about, okay, so I had to go to the sheriff and this and that. Now, for me, I usually try and avoid law enforcement altogether.
Yeah, tell okay. me. And thankfully, I didn't have to do any of that talking, by the way, because I had a friend. Because I had to do the driving, and yeah, so yeah, I'm definitely not a cop caller, but again, he was trying to steal my car, and the court told me I had to go to that other building, and then my friend handled the rest from there.
But there was some value in the effort you put in, you see.
I needed my damn car.
Right. But my point is that, you know, it's a bag of chips or something at the stupid market. I mean, it's just not worth, you know, whatever.
Right.
The problem
of course.
Is.
Yeah. I mean, but it was, yeah.
You know, but when
it was
kind of
important. So we found a way to deal with it where I didn't have to engage, which was amazing and awesome. And it was actually so cool today. I got a call from another neighbor. And he's like, oh, man, you should have called me. I'd have helped out. And I'm like, that is so sweet. Thank you. Mm. So, you know, if you don't have friends like that in your life, you're hanging out with the wrong people.
Right.
Okay? So go find those people that will have your back and that know that you're not a cop caller, but you kind of need to get your car back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, none of this happened overnight. And I did not have any of this support and such, you know, in the really dark times. But I'm thankful for all of that because I never would have found out what I was made of, right, if I would have had everyone else to do everything for me.
Well,
but yeah, at the same time, there's, you know, sometimes we're confronted with situations, like even in a grocery store, you know, I haven't seen a weird, you know, situation for a while, but I have seen, you know, people freak out or confront other people like for seemingly no reason. So again, these instances are opportunities to practice what we know, whether it's in regards to our self-healing and standing up for ourselves or knowing our worth or knowing when to walk away, right? Not be triggered. And, you know, like if you're a fighter or something and your first instinct is to punch someone in the face, you know, you might experience a lot of situations where you're given the opportunity to not punch someone in the face, right? And walk away and take responsibility for, you know what I mean? Whatever the trigger is. Yeah, so it doesn't, you know, these things can be stressful, but again, what are we going to do with them and how are we going to care for ourselves and do our best to avoid, you know, those random things? Obviously, they're going to happen to everyone at some point, somewhere along the way, right?
Right.
So are we prepared to deal with that without letting it trigger us or throw us into a deep, dark depression or anxiety or some form of self-harm or grabbing the bottle or the pills or the, you know, whatever other distraction, right? Or can we talk about it rationally, look at it rationally, be flexible? What can we do to occupy our time if it's really stressing us out, right? Can we trade some of that time for silence or doing something we love or focusing on something we love and, you know, get through the steps, whether it's court or whatever it is, right? Or talking to a sheriff or making the calls or the tax man or all of the things that make people uncomfortable, you know, go through the steps, but try to not like own it. Like try to look at it more from an observer experience. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helps, I think, a lot in triggering traumatic situations.
No, absolutely true. And again, look, a lot of this is you're gonna have to learn it as you go. I mean, because look, if you've had experience with something, and it's not, you know, your paid position to keep doing it, you might want to ask yourself how you keep getting into the same situation, too.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because we're the common denominator of these situations, right?
Right.
Like, they might have other different people or different locations or different costumes, but we're still here.
Yeah.
So, what are we contributing?
It's like when I see somebody say, well, why do all my friends screw me over? Well... You know,
because they're not your friends and you're terrible at picking what real friends are because you've been so traumatized and you don't think you're worthy. And when you can admit that to yourself, then you can have the opportunity to start healing it.
Yeah. See, I would be a little kinder about it and not say you're terrible at picking friends. I would say, you know, look, you've made the mistake of thinking that particular attributes are good for you. You're mistaken, right, is what you are. And you need to correct that by recognizing what they are. You know, it's like, well, I like this person because they're this way. Well, that way that you think is great might actually be detrimental to you. You know?
Do you know how many times I dated my mom or my dad? You know what I mean? And it was, and yeah, I wasn't consciously like, oh, you know, I don't know what, but those feelings, you know, the trauma, the jealousy, all those things felt familiar.
Right.
So, again, and that's blame versus responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. It's not your fault that feels familiar to you, right? But once you recognize that feels familiar to you, that's when we have to self-assess and break the, like any addiction, right? Mm-hmm. Break the ties to whatever that is. So whether you have to self-isolate in the Olympic mountains or, and hopefully it doesn't have to be as extreme as what I did, but you know, whatever you have to do to get yourself away from that habit until you create a new habit, right? It only takes 3 weeks to create a new habit, right?
Well, true.
So if we're focusing on what we're replacing things with, then make a new habit, find a new hobby, pick up an old one, go help someone else, you know?
See, a piece of wisdom that I got from, I tell you that I adopted a series of mothers, basically, okay, over the years. And one thing that I got, a piece of wisdom from one of the very first ones was... you know, not every addiction is something that gets you high. I'm shaking my head. And what it was is she was pointing out that I kept making the same mistake, that I was apparently addicted to something that was bad for me. And it wasn't a substance. It was actually a type of girlfriend that she was pointing out was bad for me. And it's like, you keep doing this. And sometimes you don't necessarily even recognize it for yourself. And I'm not saying that you need to take outside judgments at all times seriously, but I would say at least hear them out. Because on occasion, somebody outside of you might tell you, listen, I'm watching you do the same thing over and over again. You're doing, you know, the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I'm watching you do that. I don't think you know you're doing that to yourself. Sometimes people will tell you that because it's blatantly obvious to them and not to you.
Right. And it's true. It's not obvious to us when we're going through that because trauma, stress, all of these things mm-hmm. cause visible, provable brain damage. And then if we're medicating it with pills or other substances and escapism routes, then of course we can't see it. So that's why we need good, honest friends, right?
Right. And even if they're just your friend for the day and they just care enough about you to observe it.
I wish I had somebody to slap me in the face and say, come on, girl, you know, like, because I lived all this, like, nothing I say is in judgment. And we really have to get past that, because mm-hmm. the truth is no one else is. We're judging ourselves. Right? It's our own guilt and our own shame and our own blame, or, oh man, why did I do that? You know what? What everybody needs to know is you've made the very best decision you could make given the circumstances in every situation your entire life. Mm. Okay? So get over the guilt or shame or, oh, I should have known better or I should have done it. No, you did the best you could. But guess what? If you really feel like you didn't handle it right, the good news is you'll have another opportunity to handle it right in the future, right? So that you can graduate from that class. So don't waste your time beating yourself up. Just move on, pick up the pieces. Now you have more experience behind you, and that should hopefully empower you to be even stronger, you know, the next time you encounter whatever that situation is. Mm-hmm.
So, look, I figure we're going to go about another 30 minutes here, and usually I wind up rushing you to a conclusion during these shows. So I'm giving you the half hour to say that this is one of those things that we can bat around a lot, but outside of the solutions that have already been presented, and these are solutions, you know, one way or another, just getting you to think about this in a different way. If you are experiencing a pattern that is clearly not helpful, that is clearly bringing you to the same, you know, place over and over again, and that's not where you want to be, then you're, you know, in need of adjustment.
And look, you don't have to be perfect, okay? Just do a little bit better today than yesterday. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's a journey. You have the rest of your life, right? And so don't, like, put time limits on yourself or expect yourself to go from traumatized to response to perfectly healthy response overnight. It's not going to happen. Love yourself. Have fun with it, okay? Like, if you do make a mistake or whatever, learn to laugh at it, or yourself, or even others. And, you know, I truly believe, and this is, you know, some of the things I've gone through, you know, I truly believe that everything is done for our best interest. Mm. And I have no, like, regrets, or there's not one single person who has attempted to harm me in any way that I don't have forgiveness and gratitude for. I'm truly grateful for all of that. And I really, really, really would love to see everyone also with this same gratitude, because again, then, you know, when you're not triggered by these things and you're still able to take care of yourself in a rational way and make the best decisions for yourself and things, you know, you're healing, right? And, you know, are we ever going to be 100% completely healed? No. If we were, then maybe I wouldn't have a problem, like, calling cops or hanging out with, you know what I mean? But the fact exists that they're part of my PTSD, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go out there and be making friends or causing trouble or any of that stuff that would attract any of that in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So will you come to a day where these things don't rule your life anymore? Absolutely. Are you never going to feel them again? Probably not. You know, you'll probably like feel stuff, but it's much different. Like, I have no emotional reaction anymore to anything that happened in my past at all. Like, just gratitude.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Like, even 4 years ago, if somebody would bring up, like, my childhood or my parents, something like that, I would just break down. Like, I couldn't even talk about it. I'd be shaking. I'd be, you know?
But and I'll tell you something. It takes quite a while to build up a box of this stuff. And, you know, as I expressed to you about the psilocybin experience, it released so many things that I was carrying for 30 years. And stuff I was carrying for 10 years, and stuff I was carrying for 5 years. And yeah, the box was getting pretty heavy. But here's the thing. I wasn't angry or upset that I didn't empty the box altogether, that it wasn't empty in one shot. I was grateful that it was lighter. That's all I wanted. And then I went further with it, and I lightened it up a lot. And comparatively speaking, you know, it's real easy to carry around a sandwich, okay? But not so easy to carry around your whole grocery order if you're trying to feed a household, all right?
Right.
And that's what I was doing all the time, is I was carrying around all this stuff, and a lot of it just needed to be let go. Not like I will forget about it, I'll put it out of my mind entirely. You don't, that's the result you're looking for, but that's not the action. The action is more like, okay, this is what it was, and it doesn't have to lead to anything else. I don't have to attract these things to myself, because that's another thing that people do unconsciously, sometimes consciously, but really unconsciously, that I note all the time, that they attract certain things to themselves because, guess what? They're in the place where it's easy to have things attracted to them. I mean, look, you don't want to dance?
Right.
Don't
like
go to the
fear,
club.
But I'm sorry. I think that's where we get into, it's feels familiar,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think when I hear, like, you attracted it, like, yeah, there's sometimes, right, that which I feared has come upon me, or what you think about, you bring about, or whatever. Yeah, there is definitely that to it, but...
Right.
I look at it more as we are attracted to that because it's our trauma response and we haven't learned to break that yet, right?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to go back to,
then we're blaming ourselves, you know, what am I doing wrong? Well, you're just acting in the best way you know how based on your conditioning and your level of unhealed trauma. That's all.
Well, like you said, it's not your fault.
Right. But, okay, so that's all I wanted to... I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to change those words, because a lot of it, when we talk that way, or like the law of attraction stuff, or we attract it, then, you know, a lot of blame and shame and things, come about.
Yeah, I'm trying to be pragmatic about it, and I'm thinking out loud, so I'm glad that you helped me with that, because the thing is, and I appreciate that. I really appreciate it. You're right. The thing I was trying to get back to, though, is that by carrying around so much before, it took a lot of strength to do that. Okay? So what that did is made me susceptible. These are things that I can take some control of, maybe not absolute control, maybe not total control, but I can step in and I can have an influence over how much weight I'm carrying around, how much of my energy goes into that stuff, regardless of how traumatic it was, regardless of the you know, the thing that's burned into me. And I had a horrible time with, you know, again, I'll call it PTSD. It's an overused term, but I was having a horrible time with that. And that is one of those situations where you absolutely feel as though you have no control over it. You know, at least this is what I found commonly, where you have so many different triggers, you don't even necessarily recognize them, right? And it's just, it is disorder. It, not that you're in disorder, but it causes a lack of order, because it weakens you. It takes a lot of energy.
Right.
And I'm just saying that that's the kind of thing that makes you more susceptible to other problems.
Absolutely.
Like rage
but if
is
you
a good
focus
thing.
On like the wins, like how you said that you were just happy to unpack this, and then you unpacked a little more. Mm-hmm. Like each of those are huge wins, right? And each of them gives you more confidence to tackle more. Right. And as you tackle more, it opens up your eyes to other things that you didn't even really know exist, that you couldn't have known existed until you unpacked the others, right?
Well, back
so
to the box
focus
metaphor.
Focus on those wins
yeah.
and all the accomplishments, and I'm not speaking just to you, but to everyone.
Right.
Like, when you forget how powerful you are, look back and remember all you already made it through, and let that be, you know, some spark of confidence to take on the next, or to unpack one more bag, or, you know, try to correct or whatever one habit or something, right? Mm-hmm. Just one at a time, baby steps. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, back to that box metaphor I had, I mean, really I'm thinking of like a crate with handles that I was kind of carrying around. You may so long carry that crate around, though, that you forget what's underneath the top layer even. You know, and so you start to remove things, and oh yeah, that's in there, and everybody's done that, a box somewhere or a container somewhere, and they go, I know I had this in here, oh, I forgot about this. You know, this is exactly what you do when you're starting to just take a few things out. You may not be, and that's another thing too, the box is too heavy to move, okay, take some stuff out of it and see if you can move it. You know what I'm saying? It's all about perfect. Making that progress. And you have to celebrate that, not settle for it, but celebrate that step by step. Because every one of those things makes it easier to move the box around, makes it easier to see what's in the box, makes it easier to move forward. You can do it by doing it. So that's the kind of encouragement I was trying to get to. But
well said. Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, and you do it, not everybody, look, you might have a friend, hey, he cured himself in a night. Okay, cool, that's great. It could take you a while, it could take you a little while, it could take you a long time, it could be instantaneous. Everybody's got a different pace because everybody's got a different experience. So,
well, what do they say about relationships, Chuck, that it takes half the time you were in it to get over it, right, after the breakup?
Yeah.
So are we not in a relationship with ourselves? How long? You know what I mean? So right. Don't expect any of this to be done overnight. In fact, don't even ever expect it to be done, because you're always, hopefully, going to be in the process of self-growth. I mean, okay, just, you know, you tackle one thing, that's cool, but doesn't that make you want to tackle more? I mean, I, you know, it's like, because it feels good. Mm. So, yeah, keep going with that. And I want to say, Chuck, I hope this is okay with you. So I know we have like 20 minutes left, but we've been, I think we've addressed a lot on this topic, and okay. Right now it's spring, and there's so many healing herbs and flowers and such out there that maybe next week, could we talk about some of these things?
Definitely. I love just listening to you talk about that stuff, because every time you do, quite frankly, I learn something new. We do have a caller on the line. I'm
good,
because
sure. The reason I wanted to bring it up while mm-hmm. we have 20 more minutes is because if anyone else has questions in regards to this topic, I mean, I think 3 weeks is enough, right?
Right.
On this. So call in and we'll answer all your questions, and then we'll move on to something different next week.
That sounds great to me, because the more information cool. we have with that, I mean, the better off everybody is, I think. And again, right. it's not necessarily, look, I'm not discouraging you from ordering stuff from Christy, but a lot of things I bet you she's going to tell you about, you might be able to just find, okay, near you if you look in the right places. Okay. And it's not necessarily at stores, but let's see what our caller has to offer here with the last little bit of tonight's show. And again, yeah, we'll continue the discussion next week. So you're on the air.
Hi, What was that about the box you were talking about? No, I'm just kidding. This is Chris again.
Yes, Chris.
I'm not double dipping, am I?
What's that?
I'm not double dipping like with phone calls, am I?
No. We don't have rules like that on here.
I'm not against double dipping.
There you go. So what's on your mind,
no,
Chris?
I'm interested in what you have to say about the herbal remedies and everything too. So, yeah.
Cool.
Well, any particular area? You know what, Chris? You can help us out with next week's show by telling us if there's a particular thing you'd like to know about, if there's a particular issue, or there's something you want to know about common things that maybe you could find just locally. Easily, if there's, I mean, anything in particular about just, you know, natural common things that people should be able to utilize for greater purposes that you'd like to know about. Is there something that you can give us a hint about, and we'll put it into the hopper there and see what Christy has to say about it on the next show?
Okay, well, I'll just throw this out here. Basically, I guess addictions and things like that, where in a pandemic world now, you can't exactly go to certain places and feel 100% safe. I was just wondering if, besides meditation and everything, if, you know, and if you don't have, like, a medical marijuana card or anything like that, if, you know, something might just take the edge off. Someone that might be, you know, suffering
well
inside or whatever.
Are we talking about like a general sort of anesthetic, or are we talking about natural alternatives to pharmaceuticals? What do you think specifically?
Yeah, the pharmaceuticals are, in my mind, they're out the window. They're just harmful to me, in my opinion. But I just like, I'm not exactly sure.
Chris, are you looking for advice for beating an addiction in general, like general advice for?
Yeah, I mean, I went through, I went through the whole, detox and halfway house thing a few years ago. And I'm just dealing with some stuff right now, currently, that, I don't know, just, is basically, without sounding stupid, just, you know, there's a hole in my heart, and, I try to mask it with, like, humor or get my mind preoccupied, but if there was any kind of other remedies that maybe I'm not even aware of, because I've looked around, but meditation, I know that, but that only goes so far when your mind, you can't really concentrate, you know?
Christy.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking here, Christy, though? Because I hear Chris struggling to explain specifics.
I want to talk to him after the show.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Christy, would you like to get in touch with Christy after the show so she could talk to you privately a little bit? And maybe you could be a little more forthcoming about details, and perhaps she could give you some guidance.
Yeah, because I'd have to ask too many questions in a public arena to give you good advice, right?
I don't want to like bring anyone's night down, but
it's not a matter of bringing anybody's night down.
You're absolutely not bringing anybody's night down.
This is part of what Christy does, though, is that
this is what I live for.
She'll talk privately to you, and this way you could be more comfortable about it.
No, really, this is a blessing and an honor, and the fact that you would even feel comfortable enough to call in at all. So, I'm completely honored, and I would love to help.
I just feel pretty, I'm pretty much alone in the world now, you know. I'll take you up on that. I'm honored that you're honored.
you see what I mean?
That's what else do you do when you learn Like, I have no choice but to share. I want everyone else to feel the new life that I've been blessed to experience, right? So I'll just speak in general terms because I don't know anything about you personally or your personal addiction. But what I do know is that we're all addicts. We're all addicted to something, right? Mm-hmm. And if we, you know, some people go through programs that get you to repeat, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm an addict. And so I would just like to suggest that there is much more to each and every one of you. And to me, look, we know everyone else is trying to mind control us and using NLP on us, right? We could mind control ourselves. Oh, yeah. So am I just an addict, or am I a husband or a wife or a child or a daughter or a mother or an aunt, or, you know, like, is that all you are? Are you a soccer player? Are you an artist? Are you a visionary? Are you a philosopher, right? So think of those things. And then with addictions I mentioned earlier, like, habits take 3 weeks to make. So whatever addiction we're trying to get away from, so I had a major addiction to self-hate, and it was evident in every single thing I did and choice I made until I was aware that, you know, where it was stemming from, right? So we can make new habits as we're releasing the addiction to whatever, right? And if these habits are something that we love, they're going to be our new addictions, right? So,
well,
what feeds your soul?
Yeah.
What makes your heart sing? What makes you look forward to getting up in the morning? Whatever that is, do that and do more of that.
That's kind of my dilemma. Is that
right? That so, anyway, Chris, let me just interrupt here real quick to tell you something. Okay, you got a pen handy?
Yeah.
All right. Do me a favor, take down this number, and you can text me at it directly, okay? I'll make time to talk tonight.
Well, if you don't want to put it over the radio, I understand.
No, I'll give it right now over the damn radio. I don't even care, dude. Listen, just to send me a text and say give me your first and last name in a text. I'll know it's you, okay? 478.
Okay.
Okay, 478 is the area code. 461-7512.
Yep.
All right?
7512.
And I'm not offering this as an alternative to Christy. Obviously, you know, if Christy wants to talk to you after the show tonight or email with you or whatever, cool. But you can text me tonight for sure. And if you need to talk to me tomorrow, I'll make time to talk to you tomorrow. You know kind of what my schedule is tomorrow, but... but if you want to talk to somebody, I'm hearing an undertone here, brother, and I think I understand it, and I'm not going to ask you to elaborate on it. But if you want to interact with somebody who understands part of what you're not saying saying,
I just don't have it. I just don't have any other anybody to turn to.
Well. I'm giving you.
Yes, you do. You have at least two people right
no,
here.
No, I mean, no, I understand. No, I understand that. I mean, before I called.
Right.
Well, what I'm telling you is
reals, though.
So what I'm just going to tell you is, you got that number down, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Just text me and just give me your first and last name. I know who you are, and it's okay, man. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'll be up late tonight for a little bit, but tomorrow or whatever, who knows what tomorrow is going to be like, but you know what my schedule is, so you know when I can talk, right? Okay?
Yeah, can I send you actually an email, just because I think I may have missed some of those numbers, and I don't want you to have to repeat it again.
No, no problem. I can give it to you right now if you got the pen.
What's your email? And I'll email you right now.
You know what, Christy, I'll send it over to you, because I got it. Because you might not want to give it out right here on the radio.
Right.
Okay, but I don't give it. I don't give a crap. My number's there. I don't answer that phone usually.
I don't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I. Oh man.
No, don't apologize to me. Don't apologize to me, dude. Do not apologize to me. You're fine. Fine.
Don't.
It's good. Okay, it's all right. Good here. All right, Christy.
Isn't this exactly right. What we're here for? Like, yeah, exactly. Definitely don't apologize.
Yeah, no, something about airing your laundry. I just had a moment of weakness, you know.
Not, look, you don't.
That's not. No. Let me tell you what weak is. Let me tell you what weak is not. Would somebody who's weak call in a live public radio show and express their true feelings? No.
I don't know.
That's what weak is. That's the opposite of weak.
No. It's okay, dude.
I appreciate it.
Don't worry about it. We're gonna not address this on the air because, again, I don't think it's right to do so with you. But
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. I know what I'm hearing.
Winding down too.
You're not bringing anybody down. This is good.
No.
This is good.
This is what we're here for.
Right. So
I appreciate it.
It's all right. I'm sending Christy your email address. You're cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to send her your email address right now.
Or send him mine or my phone number or whatever, and then email me or text me anytime. And if you want to talk right after the show, I'm here.
Christy, is the Hotmail address okay?
I'll check my email and then I'll call you. Yeah.
Is the Hotmail address okay, Christy?
I don't have a Hotmail.
Well, you do on my list here.
Oh.
Okay.
Let me. Well, maybe in the old days I did.
I think you did. Yeah. Sorry, I might have an outdated. But no problem. You know what I'll do? I'll put it here in the Skype anyway.
Hey, maybe this was a good call. I mean, you get updated information, you know.
Hey, exactly. See, you're already helping. You're helping me.
All right. Yeah, right.
I couldn't figure out how to open the Skype thing to text you, so I just put my email in the chat. And so if you're not listening live, this is future or something, my email is christyaphrodite@gmail.com.
Okay, the Gmail address.
Yeah, I got the chat open, so I'll have that.
All right, but either way, I just sent you his email address on the Skype there. So you have it, okay?
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, so that's done. You got the phone number? Chris, or you want me to send it to you by email?
Yeah, email would be great just because I lied to you. I didn't have a pen, but I wasn't going to call at first, but yeah.
No sweat. I'm doing it while I'm talking to you, all right?
Yeah, I mean, you guys want to keep talking or whatever, I'll just listen, you know? I usually cut people off, so.
No worries. Listen, we're about ready to close out the show anyway, okay? So you had perfect timing. And I'm really happy that you decided to call in. I'm having trouble typing while I'm talking, but Christy, by all means, go ahead and give your final word here, and we'll close out the show, and I'll finish typing this email to Chris, okay?
All right. And yeah, Chris, feel free to call me, and really anyone. Like, if I can help in any way, it is my pleasure. It's my life. I've dedicated my life to it. So,
well, thank you for doing what you do. You know?
Yeah. Thank you for calling in. And thank you, Chuck, for having me here and you know, allowing me to be able to talk all this crazy stuff.
Well, look, at the end of the day, the ultimate mission of what it is that I've ever tried to do, that people have gotten to hear, people have gotten to see, is I'm trying to make the world a little better place than I found it. And if I can make somebody else's life a little better, if I can offer, you know, help to somebody, if I can, this is my default position. So I'm more than happy. And you, in fact, Christy, helped me a lot, you know, not necessarily as the advisor that she could be to a lot of other people, but just by actually being my friend and never lying to me, you know, and things like that. Hell of a value to that. And so Chris, don't fret about any of what you just did, what you just said. You did the thing you needed to do. I'm glad you did it. And you got two people here that are here for you. I'm just letting you know that. Okay? So that's all there is. And, of course, anybody else who wants to grab that number, you can do that too. I mean, I know some people are probably going to grab it and do dumb things, but whatever. I don't care. All right? The people that need to get to me, you can get to me. All right? And if there's something that I can do to help somebody, especially somebody who listens to my show, I've always done that. I've even given out phone numbers at, you know, around the holidays, because people get into dark spaces around then. And you know what? If I can prevent anybody from suffering just another 10 minutes, I'm going to put in the effort. So maybe not the same as Christy does. I'm not quite the Mother Nature that she is, but I might have a particular set of skills, and whatever it is I can do, even if it's just to maybe listen to somebody once in a while, as opposed to talking, we'll get it done, because we all need to serve not just our own interests. We talked a lot about serving our own interests tonight, but you know what? Serving others is also serving ourselves. And I believe in that with an absolute certainty. So, Christy Aphrodite, again, mytrueessence.net, christyaphrodite.com. And your final words, Christy, for the night.
Man, this was beautiful. I have chills, and I'm so grateful we've done this. And that's really, if I can help anyone in any way, that's what I'm here for, and it makes everything all worth it. And just thank you for this opportunity. Right. It's just beautiful. Well, and again, I'm looking forward to talking to you, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Chris, hang on the line, because once my intro music is done and I close the mic, we can still talk to you a little bit. All right? So stick around. But for those of you listening to the podcast or the radio broadcast, guess what? We're all done. And I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. I want to thank Bob Wilson, his guests, and, of course, the one and only Christy Aphrodite. ChristyAphrodite.com, MyTrueEssence.net. I think I got those right. Hell. Anyway, Ocelli.com Radio. Good night.